Learning History One Podcast at a Time. This is Exploring Islamic Art Podcast with Sarah Khan.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in into Exploring Islamic Art. I'm your host, Sarah Khan, and in this episode, I'll be diving deep into the complex yet intriguing history of Islamic art, from its characteristics to how it has influenced the Western Hemisphere thousands of years ago to modern day. I'll be covering a variety of topics, and of course, what is talking about art without any visuals. Because of this, I have provided a website that you can visit and see some really awesome pictures of the art and architecture and places in the world that one can visit. So without any further ado, grab your cup of coffee or something to snack on, and let's get right into it. Alright, so first, let's go over the basics and elements of Islamic art and go over what makes Islamic art Islamic. It truly is unique from other arts in that it's not just defined through a religious lens. So with Christianity and Judaism, their arts are usually contained with only religious context. However, Islamic art is not always on a religious realm, but more a geographical and historical realm. So Islamic art is defined through where Islam was spread from the 7th century onwards and where it really had its mark. So for example, the Middle East, Spain, parts of India, Central Asia, parts of China, Turkey, Morocco, the list goes on. Often Islamic art would slightly differ from like different periods of time, such as during the Umayyad period to the shift of the Abbasid period and the entrance of the Ottoman Empire. So now I really want to kind of go deeper into the actual elements and characteristics of Islamic art before I discuss the influence it had on the Western world, because I think it'll really help with having a better understanding of the art itself and even appreciating it more. So although there are several characteristic and elements of the art, the main notable ones are calligraphy, architecture, glass, poetry, and ceramics. It is said that calligraphy is the quote-unquote cherry on top, or the elite element of Islamic art. And this makes sense because of its similarity or closeness even to the holy scripture of the Quran and how it's very devotional. Islamic calligraphy has its very own unique history. So after the fall of the Umayyad period, there was a golden age of calligraphy that lasted into the 13th century with the Abbasids. So an Abbasid caliph, Mansur, made a capital for his empire in Baghdad, where his system for calligraphy flourished, which ultimately led to a spread of calligraphy in different regions, especially in places like Turkey, where a lot of calligraphy can be seen today in Hagia Sophia, where I've also provided pictures on my website, so make sure to check that out. Another element is architecture, which has a very large influence from the variety of different types of architecture that the Islamic art has provided, which I will go more into later. So other characteristics of Islamic art is not having paintings or pictures of the face or figure of any prophet or any human or animals or God, Allah for that matter. So this is very, very important in Islamic art, and it's a good thing to kind of take note of that when you're looking at the art, because you will often not see these figures, and when you do, they're not very pronounced because of how they don't want it to be portrayed. So patterns and geometrical figures are very essential in the formation of Islamic art as well, which makes sense because when we look back into history, the Arab world really found geometry in that like mathematical lens. And so I kind of wanted to talk about this article that I read named Some Characteristics of Islamic Art by Edward Matin, and he states the following. First, there is the infinite pattern, which consists of an interlaced line passing over and under itself, forming intricate geometrical patterns. The line is continuous, and it has no beginning or end, and it also exhibits unity in its simplicity. It is at once symbolic of both Allah's infinity and his unity, and at once expressive both of his transcendence and the concept of a thawid. So, These infinite figures and patterns can be found in the Great Mosque of Cordoba, in the entrance of the Great Mosque of the Damascus, So which I have again provided pictures for my website. And I think his little excerpt about these patterns in line is really important to kind of understand Islamic art, because it is so prominent in throughout their art. So in addition to geometric figures that are in a pattern and repeated numerous times in the art, and all of this is usually referred to an arabesque design, which you will see a great pattern in Islamic art. So now that we have gone over the basics of the characteristics through a historical lens, we can now kind of build off of this information on the bigger question that I'm really trying to focus on today, which is how the characteristics and beliefs of Islamic art and medias not only contribute to, but also have been interpreted and influenced through the Western world, and how that connects to modern day Muslim communities, which that connection to modern day Muslim communities will be talked about in the next episode. So make sure to stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to do a little quick intermission. Let's dive right into the influence of Islamic art on the world, and more specifically, the Western world. So at the heart of it all, we essentially have the concept of colonialism in play, because at some points, European powers would often steal Islamic artifacts. Shocker, I know. So they would do this for their own good, but that was more in the beginning, in the root of it all. But nonetheless, it's a part of history, so I thought it was important to mention. So as foreign powers expanded economically and politically, especially in the 1970s, European travelers brought back numerous souvenirs from the Islamic world. They brought handcrafts and items that can help them develop through a market and manufacture goods. Earlier in the years, for example, oftentimes metal bowls were made with intricate designs, with geometric figures and details, which would be sent off to Christians in Europe, where they would use these bowls for water for the practice of baptism. So in addition, in 1759, the British Museum collected a lot of Islamic art from Iran, Egypt, and the Arabian Peninsula, and many more areas. This kind of sparked the interest of Westerners to explore more into Islamic art, and especially after World War I, when more items and scholars were available to really research this area. Ironically enough, though, the study of Islamic art is more recent, although the usage of the art by Western powers is not. And so another example of its influence of Westerners, was with trade. So as I mentioned earlier, with those metal bowls, that was a good example of trade as well, but this relates going back also to that economical and political beneficial standpoint in the exploitation of Westerners' power taking the goods. So architecture in Spain, where Christians and Muslim culture kind of had juxtaposed in history, had a great influence through Islamic art. The Mudéjar style in the 12th century was a result of Islamic influence, and this style in places like Seville and Zaragoza can be found. So the geometric figures are prominent in the style, and all of the palaces have an inner place situated in the center, where it consists of a fountain situated in the middle. So you will see this kind of style very common in Islamic structures, especially in mosques. It's just like a circular common area with a quote-unquote body of water, but like a fountain in the middle, because this was a vital element of all religious Islamic architecture, since the fountain was used for washing up before the mass. And the interior was decorated with pointed arcs, which is another characteristic of characteristic of Islamic art in the Western world that we will go into further later. So now I kind of want to talk about the influences of this style of domes. Yes, domes, which, might I mention, I totally did not realize how big domes are used in the Islamic world. We see it all the time, and I think it just kind of was never processed in my head that how important it is in the usage of in the Islamic world. So the usage of domes, dome-like figures in Islamic architecture is very essential. Like I said, these are seen in mosques, houses, and other buildings. The first notable building that Muslims built was with that dome-like figure was the famous Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, Palestine. This also includes those geometric figures. There's little square, gold-like squares on the top of the dome that are reflective, and it looks really cool, which, again, I will be providing pictures, so make sure to check that one out, especially since it's so important in history. In fact, during the medieval period, Islam developed a wide variety of dome types which reflect dynastic, religious, and social distinctions as much as different construction techniques. As Muslims spread, they needed to build infrastructure on the newly conquered lands and built their homes, palaces, and public buildings and mosques. This led to the use of domes in different countries. What the Western world utilized domes, learning the techniques from the Islamic countries. This dome shape has also influenced other churches spread out in the Western world, such as Italy. Arcs were also influenced greatly by Islamic art in the Western world. So for example, early Christian buildings, such as this one in Sicily, which I am totally going to butcher the name, so I will have it in my website. It's the Capilla Palatina in Palermo. But again, I might have just totally butchered the name, so I will have that in my website. It's incorporated Islamic elements, probably usually created by local Muslim craftsmen working in their own traditions. The pointed arc provided a very attractive substitute to the Romanesque style for the buildings of large Christian structures. So these are just some of the examples on how Oriental Islamic art has influenced Western powers, but it obviously is not limited to just these subjects, because as I mentioned earlier, the history of Islamic art is so deep and heavy that it sometimes is very lengthy to cover everything and hit every bullet in the book. But this really does show the connection from earlier years on how Islamic art has arguably been one of the most influential arts in the world to outside societies, and how it spreads so quickly. The use of its unique architecture and ceramics are notable and can be found throughout the world and help shape Western societies. And I know that for one, aside from just learning about this historical standpoint, I thought it was so cool to really learn about the different styles of architecture in Islamic art, such as like the different mosque styles, how there's like a circular type with, you know, the fountain in the middle, as well as the different arcs, there's different names for them, and the domes. And I think that's really cool. And another thing that I totally forgot to mention that I think is another notable thing to mention is glass is so prominent also in the making of Islamic art and its influence in the Western world, because the Westerners really used a lot of the quote-unquote Islamic glass in the way that the Muslim countries made them, and they were brought to the Western world to be used. And so again, I just think it was really interesting learning about all of this myself and doing the research, and I think that there's no art that's like so intricate like this, in my personal opinion, of course. And I think that for one, when I think about art, I always think about paintings. And when I think about paintings, I think about paintings of faces and figures. And Islamic art, although there is some of that, it's not a common theme. And I thought that was really, really cool. So I think this wraps up episode one. And episode two, we'll be going on a little adventure, looking at the influence of Islamic art through a modern day lens, And I'll be mentioning some fun places that you can visit, so make sure to stay tuned for that. And also, don't forget to check out today's pictures on the website for more insight and to really get a good grasp on Islamic art, because looking at visuals of art is always so fun regardless. So thank you, and I'll talk to you all later in another episode of Exploring Islamic Art.